Welcome to Footnotes number 15, Stuart. Can you believe it?
It's an astonishing total, and I'm delighted that we've got so many listeners now. That's the main thing.
Yes.
From our earliest beginnings on our walk in Ainsford, the Peter Warlock Trail, we're now 15 editions later.
We're not in a very imaginative setting. We're at home. Yeah, we're at St. James the Great Church in East Malling, and we've designed a walk for you, which we've been limbering up for quite considerably, haven't we?
We have. We're very keen to support local breweries and hostelries. It's essential, especially at Christmas, to do this, and that's how the walk is panning out, I think.
The walk will take us from the church to the pub.
Yes,
won't it?
And it must be all of 50 yards or something.
A bit more than that. But before we get on to the seasonal fare that we've got for you, I must mention that we've had so much feedback from this Footnotes podcast that we've gone official. Through the Anchor network, we're going on Spotify and a number of other platforms. We're going to introduce through them a subscription service. We've set it as low as we possibly could. It's 99p per edition per month.
Better than Poundland.
Did someone say that the most frequently asked question in Poundland is, how much is this? It's 99p, and when I send out the edition, we'll send you the details of that link, I think, and how you can do it. I'm only just learning myself, frankly. Mm. It doesn't mean to say that you'll stop receiving this podcast. It just means it's on a more formal platform, and we're going to try and broaden it out to have a nationwide appeal.
Yes, it's going to be available to everyone around this big wide world.
So what have we got to inspire us in this season?
What could be more inspirational than the music of George Frideric Handel at this time of year, in particular his great oratorio Messiah? Messiah has been performed in this church many times. It's a great favourite, of course, at the Royal Albert Hall at their Christmas festival. It's an interesting work because these days there's a tendency for performers to follow the period instrument style, which is a very astringent style, that sort of silvery, pinpointed string sound, orchestras such as the English Concert and so on. We've got a recording of a sumptuous version of the oratorio prepared by the conductor, Sir Andrew Davis. Davis wanted to explore the sonorities of Messiah, so in a sense he padded it out with extra woodwind, extra brass, even some percussion. It's almost an Elgarian version with trumpets and triangles in it, but it's beautifully done. The original inspiration for this very large performing version that we're going to hear, very upholstered, the sound, was from a previous conductor called Sir Eugene Goossens, who's almost forgotten these days. He made a big version of Messiah with lots of noise in it, which the authentic and period instrument movement people would hate. It's a very full version, and we're going to hear the lovely Andante air for tenor, which is quite early on in the work, and it's called Every Valley Shall Be Exalted, and I think it's the perfect work for Advent and Christmas.
Places play.
Well, before we head off for our walk, the sun's out, Stuart, so we should be all right.
That's good news.
But anyway, you've got, for this seasonal edition, a special reading for us.
Yes, it's astonishing. We think of Christmas as a happy time, but let's go back to the English Civil War. I'll read you just something from a book called The Folklore of Kent, and it's called The Puritan Assault on Christmas. The book says the following. In the 17th century, Canterbury was a battleground for the very survival of the celebration of Christmas in the Civil War. Loyalties in Canterbury were sharply divided between the Royalist and Parliamentarian causes. And when the Puritan mayor, William Bridge, proclaimed in December 1647 that by order of Parliament, Christmas days and all other superstitious festivals are utterly abolished, there was trouble. The mayor proclaimed that the usual Saturday market would be held on Christmas Day, and that all shops should open, and that no church services were to be held. He threatened prosecution or arrest for anyone who hung rosemary, holly, or bays, or other superstitious herbs at his door, or made either plum pottage or nativity pies, hence the nickname of the ensuing disturbances, the Plum Pottage Riots. Now, the Reverend Aldi of St. Andrew's Church preached on Christmas Day in defiance of this proclamation, but the Puritans tried to disrupt the service by making noisy demonstrations outside the church. 12 shops opened, and the Royalists damaged their goods and tried to persuade them to close. Mayor Bridge toured Canterbury, encouraging shopkeepers to open up, and when receiving a rude answer from one, struck him in the face, and then was himself seized upon and thrown into the gutter. This led to further assaults on Puritans. Their windows were broken and their goods thrown about the streets. The Royalists barricaded St. George's Gate, Burgate, and Windcheap Gate with timber, and their watchword was, "For God, King Charles, and Kent." That's Christmas in Canterbury, 1647.
It's pretty similar to now, really, isn't it? I think we should start our long walk now, Stuart.
So I think we should.
We'll join you all outside the church. We're on church walk, on a walk.
We've got the gurgling, lovely, pure stream, and I think that this is actually where people might have brought their washing in years gone by. And the stream runs out eventually as a little tributary of the Medway down near Aylesbury.
It's quite a route, isn't it?
It is. I think that the streams through the village must explain why the original settlement of East Morling came into being. I know that they were digging at the allotments by the railway recently, and they found some Roman remains that the Romans and later the Anglo-Saxons would have derived their plentiful water supply from the streams of East Morling.
How long have you been here?
Oh, since about 1485. I've known the village since 1987, but I've lived here for 22 years now, I think it is.
So you know every nook and cranny.
The great expert on local history is Francois Gordon, whose house we've just walked past. Yeah. There's a lorry going through the village, trundling through.
We're at the end of our walk. How was it? Did you find it bracing?
It was bracing. We're now approaching the King and Queen, our local pub, which used to be a Fremlin's pub in the days of the old Fremlin's brewery, which doesn't exist anymore, of course.
Kent dog walker van goes past us.
A Land Rover Discovery.
Well, as we head into the pub, and we'll join you for a farewell festive cheer afterwards, but what piece of music have you got for us to enter the King and Queen?
A medieval carol called Be Merry. The perfect work for the King and Queen.
Be merry, everyone. Be merry.
Happy Christmas.
Be merry. Be merry.
That was the medieval carol, Be Merry, and we've got in the background in the pub, I think it's Roy Wood, isn't it?
It is Roy Wood, yeah.
I wish it could be Christmas every day.
It's always Roy Wood, isn't it?
Yeah. But we've actually bumped into an old friend in the pub, Dan Markin, who is also a filmmaker and producer, and Dan's drinking a pint of Harvey's, and we've got a pint of Blitzen Christmas ale.
Right.
So I think we should toast the season. So Dan, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, cheers.
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 Cheers, Stuart.
Cheers.
And cheers to everyone who's been listening, and we'll be back next year.
Excellent.